Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we're going to talk about how to make audio content work for your law firm. Our guest today is Allison Reynolds. Allison is the Senior Digital Marketing Manager for Vinson & Elkins, a 100-plus-year-old law firm that is headquartered in Houston, Texas, with offices all over the world. While it is her first and only law firm experience, in the last 8 years, Allison has helped to transform the firm's digital presence across channels and establish a robust content and social media marketing strategy. Prior to joining Vinson & Elkins, Allison came from the publishing industry. She worked at New York City and Houston in magazine, newspaper, and online publishing. Allison's love of storytelling inspires her to create compelling online experiences for the firm's audiences. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thank you so much, Guy. It's great to be here. I'm excited to talk about audio.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm very glad that you joined us today. And I'm very excited to learn more about what the firm and what you've been doing on audio content. But before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Like, how did you decide to go from the publishing industry over to the legal industry?
Sure. That's a great question, and one that I maybe continue to ask myself even today. I studied journalism in college and had big plans to set out to pursue a career in publishing as I did, and spent several years in New York City. I'm a Texas girl, so I kind of always knew that I'd be coming back home at some point. So when I did, I returned to Houston. I was actually working for the Houston Chronicle at the time for a few years. And, you know, I think I just reached that point in your career where you think, I've got this solid skill set. What else can I do with it? At that specific time, I was, like I said, in the newspaper industry, which was an interesting industry that had, you know, its challenges for sure. And I was approached, frankly, by a recruiter who said, what do you think about a law firm? And I kind of scratched my head thinking, you know, I'd never thought about that before, but certainly that was a time where firms were really building out their in-house, you know, marketing teams and really focusing on content and digital. And so it was a really happy circumstance that Vinson & Elkins was looking for someone like me at that time. And I was kind of ready to transition industries and just use my skills in a different way. So that's what happened. That was about 8 years ago. And it's truly been just an incredible pivot for my career because I've been able to build on my core skill set, but also just learn so many new things from the legal industry, which we all know is unique in and of itself. So it's been a great way to flex new muscles for sure.
Excellent. What would you say has been the biggest surprise in terms of, you know, when you switched from publishing to legal? What has surprised you or what did you not expect to find?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I maybe had the wrong impression of law firms when I agreed to go work for one. So the surprises have been very pleasant, actually. You know, firms are big, dynamic businesses with a lot of the same challenges that many other businesses face. I was very pleasantly surprised to see how much available content there is with hiding in a law firm. There's no shortage of content, whether it's being written by our lawyers or there's an opportunity to have someone else write it. That's probably been the biggest surprise of coming into this industry is that there really is so much opportunity and ways to market the firm, and especially through content that I didn't think would be there. I thought we would be kind of strapped and challenged for good content opportunities, but there's no lack of them, whether it's coming from the practice groups and the lawyers themselves, or it's coming out of our, you know, recruiting teams and talent management and whatnot. There's just so many sometimes hidden opportunities to create good marketing content. And I've been really pleasantly surprised by that.
That is great to hear. All right, so let's dive a little bit into the topic here and discuss the firm's use of audio content. So tell us a little bit about, you know, the firm's history with audio content and how that has evolved over time.
Sure, definitely. So much like many firms and other brands and businesses, we kind of set out to dabble in a traditional podcast program a few years ago, knowing, you know, podcasts were all the rage. We felt that that was something we needed to add to our marketing mix. And so I think that was around 2018, 2019, you know, we kind of set out to create our podcast program. And I'm sure like many others, very quickly found that it's a very labor intensive process, you know, calendar episodes to line up guests, not only our own lawyers who we know are pressed for time, but outside guests as well. You know, it's a lot of work to set up a traditional podcast program. We chose to kind of outfit a recording studio, a physical recording studio in one of our office locations. And so that certainly came with some costs, you know, some capital investments there to get the proper equipment to record, you know, high quality audio content. But in doing so, in having that physical location, you know, we were kind of excluding anyone from participating who wasn't at that location. And that just led to other layers of complexity of planning and getting people to that physical location to take advantage of the equipment that we had. That's kind of our history. You know, we definitely produced several episodes and the reaction to them was great. But then, of course, the pandemic came around in 2020, and it just proved to be that a traditional podcast program was something we had to put a pin in, you know, at the time. You know, another challenge to that approach was when you create your podcast content and you go publish it on the various streaming services, you know, whether it's Apple or Spotify or Stitcher or whatnot, you're kind of setting out to build a whole new community on those platforms. And maybe you get lucky with users finding your episodes who are already there, but otherwise you have to promote this whole new, you know, platform that you've basically started. It's like starting a brand new, you know, LinkedIn page and acquiring listeners there. So the numbers were kind of slow to grow initially. Right. And that was also kind of is this worth all the effort to produce it for kind of returns? So that's our history. And when earlier this year, you know, we're coming out of some of those pandemic challenges, the question just re-arose, you know, do we want to get back into a podcast? Is this something we should do? And I think my marketing colleagues and I, we all agreed, we really do not want to sign back up for this huge effort to produce a traditional podcast program. So, you know, we just got creative with our resources and our thinking. And that's when we pivoted to this, quote, audiogram format that has been wildly successful for us in many ways. And really, you know, happy that, you know, test or that, you know, that try worked out so well.
For our listeners, what is the difference between a podcast and an audiogram?
Excellent question. I would describe the audiogram as recording audio content only, but then marrying that with some sort of more static visual or kind of lightly animated visual. So the two married together ultimately become more of a video asset. You're kind of capitalizing and benefiting from both audio and video at the same time. But the audiogram itself can be distributed in so many more ways and on different platforms. You post them to social media channels. We can actually upload them to other video platforms like YouTube and Vimeo. So the audiogram is just that voice married with the static visual. Sometimes we apply, you know, some light animation to ours, but it's not an actual talking head on camera that turns something into a traditional video. And the podcast, you know, similarly, of course, it's audio content, but you're kind of limited to the platform, I think. You're just on streaming audio services only, where the audiogram provides some flexibility to distribute in other ways.
I love it. So why don't you talk about some of the benefits that you have found by instituting audiograms at Vincent and Elkins?
Sure, yes. So I'd say one of the biggest benefits has been the ease of production and just the ease of recording. We empower our lawyers to just self-record these on a mobile device, on their own personal mobile device. You know, mobile devices today have just gotten so advanced in their audio and visual capabilities that you almost don't need a fully outfitted, you know, recording studio anymore. But we kind of put that in their hands. And so therefore, we eliminate the need for a whole bunch of fancy equipment. It's just right there in the palm of their hand. It makes it really easy for them to record. We've also removed that barrier of the physical studio location. So this is a lot more accessible. Our lawyers can record from anywhere, whether they're in their office, their home office, really anywhere that's, you know, a quiet space. But we've eliminated that barrier to having to come into a physical recording studio. And then the brevity of these, we really try to enforce kind of a 30 to 45 second length time on the audiogram. We're really going for short form here and making it more of a teaser rather than an explainer. So the brevity is also attractive because it's what our audience wants. You know, they just want to spend those few seconds listening to it. But it's also kind of encouraging to our lawyers, you know, to say, hey, this is going to be under a minute and I don't need you to block off, you know, several hours of your day to record something on video. This can be done just at your desk when you have a, you know, free 5 minutes. And I think not being on camera also relieves a lot of pressure. We do a fair amount of video recording too, and seeing your face on screen and needing that to be kind of polished and perfect just adds, you know, a whole layer to the production process. So overall, the biggest benefit has been that these are just extremely accessible, and our lawyers have responded really well to the low barrier to production. And it's been very cost effective, of course, for us as well. That's probably been the biggest one. I would say another great advantage to these is it really puts a face and a voice to our content, which just overall helps us kind of deepen the relationships that we're trying to create. We often say at our firm that we're a firm that's all about our people. We really do mean that. And quite literally, we try to put our people's faces forward, you know, in our marketing material, on our website, on our social channels, you know, where we can, because we know that we're creating relationships with our clients. And so taking the written content that we have and adding this voice to it and a face, you know, on the audiogram just extends and kind of deepens the relationship that we're trying to build and adds another dimension to what would otherwise be just flat, you know, written content and a click through. Another advantage to the audiograms is we feel it really extends the life of our content beyond the initial format. We're always looking for ways to recycle content into different forms. And so this is just another way to take a piece of content that maybe already lives as a CLE program or a client alert. Maybe it was a Q&A from an event that we held. We can recycle that into an audiogram, and it just gives us another chance to re-promote the same material in a different way and extend the life of that content. Another thing we try to look for too is when our lawyers are guests on TV programs or other podcasts and we secure, you know, the proper permission, we try to repurpose the audio from those appearances as well. So it doesn't always have to be a freshly recorded thing. It may exist in another place. And if we reach out to get that permission to reuse it, we can rip it and turn it into an audiogram, and you know, the lawyer never had to record the same thing twice. So that's been a great way to recycle some audio content as well.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind. and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good to Be Social website and look for the Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook. I love it. I love the fact that you're repurposing content. It's so, so important. So what have you seen as results? You know, how is the new Audiogram program helping the firm to achieve your marketing and business development objectives?
Definitely. It's all about the results, right? So we have recorded, well, a total of 25 audiograms to date. And across the board, we are seeing just noticeable and measurable increases in all KPIs almost. It's driving a click-through rate that is really strong. I mentioned that we do try to tie these audiograms to another piece of content and encourage that viewer to click through and consume more. And we're seeing almost a doubling of our click-through rates as opposed to just sharing the flat written content. If we attach an audiogram to it, that click-through rate is really, really strong. In views alone, it's just really astounding too. When we compare this to other types of video content, we're seeing, again, double and triple the views of the audiograms. And I think just because the format is something that's still a little bit new and shiny and interesting, and there's something to listen to, not just watch, the views and the listens have been really strong. We're just over 30,000 listens in total across all platforms. And we are making an effort to, like I mentioned, distribute these everywhere we can, not only on social media channels, but also on YouTube and Vimeo. We've run them as Instagram reels, trying to take advantage of that format as well. So the listens have just been extraordinary. You know, I don't think we could achieve those kind of aggregate numbers on just flat written content alone. The added dimension really is driving an increase in numbers. And I think that's in large part because we're giving what the social platforms want as well. You know, it's no secret that they want, that the social platforms want the dynamic content, and the algorithms truly do go look for the video and the audio. And so when we give it to them, they're more likely to elevate that for us. And that's demonstrated impressions and also, but also the engagement as well. So I think in giving the platforms what they want, we're seeing those results there too.
I love it. And how have the attorneys reacted to it? Have they bought in? Are they excited about doing that? And you know, how do you guys support them and encourage them to actually use these new formats?
Definitely. So I'd say a good number of them, everyone's reacted very positively. They love the ease of accessibility, of course. And in showing the metrics to them, that's certainly enticing as well. You know, oh, we could get three times the views, you know, based on the topic of your recent CLE if we utilize this new audiogram format. They're very interested in taking advantage of that. Some have kind of been more proactive about, hey, didn't I see that we started a new, you know, audio platform and I'd love to try that. Can you help me identify the right opportunity, or would this be a good fit for this piece I'm working on? So there's definitely some proactivity happening. The marketing team also does a lot of reaching out to say, hey, we saw that you just produced a recent client alert. I've highlighted a few key takeaways in here that I think would make a really strong audio teaser. Do you have a few minutes this week to record something? And that's been very well received in terms of, oh, great. Thanks for, you know, raising the opportunity. I can absolutely do that. And in a way, I've already written it down once. This is me just kind of repeating the highlights or repeating the takeaways. So it's not like the attorney has to sit down and come up with, you know, a fresh script. So the reaction has been great. And then we definitely make a point to you know, promote those results internally as well. After it goes live and is posted, we try to rally not only the speaker, but others in their practice group to go watch it, share it, like it if you did like it. And having those examples to send to others is really, really encouraging. You know, anytime we can demonstrate, you know, here is a success story for your colleague over here, we'd love to find an opportunity for you to do the same. It works really well. So it's been really positive.
Fantastic. And what's next for you guys? What are you looking at to do in 2023? Are you just looking to do more audiograms? Any plans that you have to extend this program or do some new things?
For sure, yes. Well, looking at 2023, I think we will definitely continue the audiogram program. We've already tried to extend this format kind of into other areas. We've kind of branded our initial audiogram series kind of under one umbrella, but we're realizing, you know, this approach to take some audio, marry it with a graphic, you know, piece can serve, you know, many other areas, whether it be to tell recruiting stories, DE&I stories, internal stories as well. Like, this format has worked really well. So I think we'll look to apply it in other areas of the firm for sure. You know, we're a very entrepreneurial firm. You know, we like to say that about ourselves. Our lawyers are very entrepreneurial, but in turn, so are our teams. And we're really willing to get creative with our resources and try something new and learn from them, apply it to other areas. So in other ways, I'm really hoping that we will be able to crack the nut on additional short form video. I think that it's just no surprise that short form video is the undisputed queen of content right now. And we're kind of getting at that with these, these audiograms, but I'd like to see us kind of figure out how to really create that short form on camera video. You know, we don't have the exact answer yet, but we've got some really great skills, you know, on our team. And I think if you just put trust in people, we might be able to figure out how to utilize that more.
Fantastic. All right, Allison. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I really appreciate you spending some time with us and talking to us about what you guys are doing with audiograms. It's fascinating, and I wish you a lot of success moving forward. I think it's amazing what you guys have been able to do. Before I let you go, though, would you have some words of advice or some suggestions for other marketers out there that are thinking about, you know, either creating audiograms or finding new ways to market the firm services?
Yeah, I would say, you know, just going into 2023, all marketers are kind of on the same page as knowing that budgets will be constrained, you know, going into next year. And such is the magic of being a marketer. We're kind of often asked to do more with less. And I think this audiogram program has really shown how we were able to pivot into reaching the ultimate end goal in a way that, you know, used resources more effectively. So my advice would just be to not be afraid, to be nimble, and really think creatively about how to use the resources that you do have. Don't be afraid to try something. Find someone who's willing to be your guinea pig and test it out. And if it goes terribly, you can throw it in the trash and no one is harmed. But if it's a success, then you have a great example to go and show others. And you also kind of have a champion in that guinea pig to go tell others of how easy it was to create the thing. My advice would just be not to be afraid to try going into next year and to think creatively about how to use your resources.
Love it. That is fantastic advice. All right. Well, for our listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, you can go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. You can also listen to some of our great past episodes as well. Allison, thank you again for your time. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And maybe we'll have you back next year to see how things are going and how you've been able to evolve and progress with the work you've done so far.
Thank you so much, Guy. It was great speaking with you.
Awesome. All right. To our listeners, thank you for listening today. We will see you next time.